Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, April the 20th. 2026 for 2026, 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There will be a city council meeting tonight, which should be interesting as usual. The talk will be, should city council go to staggered four-year terms instead of two-year term elections every 2 years? I don't know. I think the thinking on that is interesting. Certainly should bring up some questions. Decorum is back on the agenda tonight during the meeting. I don't know where that will go. I think that's an interesting subject. So that's kind of where we are tonight as far as city politics go. 15 days away from the big primary on May the 5th, I imagine the candidates have to be getting awful nervous. I wonder what we'll see in the next 15 days, 2 weeks, before this all hits the fan. And again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I said it in the first hour. It was nice to see Mary Ellen's piece on NBC4 yesterday. I actually watched it the old way people used to watch television. Got up, turned on the television, put it on Channel 4, and watched the piece that was done. I thought it was a great piece on her. Hopefully other people got to see it as well. As I said in hour number one, my grass is growing at an incredibly fast rate. I think it must have something to do with the weather that we've had. Certainly a lot of rain in the last few weeks, so the grass continues to grow at an abnormally fast rate, as I just mowed the grass on Thursday, and it's already kind of high again. Let's see here. Well, and here we are. So again, if anybody's got any questions, 740-383-9944. Well, we talked about this last week. The Amy Acton situation that broke loose about a week ago, in which she was accused of having the police called to her house in Bexley in 2019, and apparently a mirror got broken, and there was some kind of altercation between her and her husband, verbal altercation, and whatever happened, happened. And, you know, I think it's all very fascinating, because she had her campaign manager come out and defend the situation. Then later in the week, she had her husband come out and defend the situation, but we have yet to hear her defend the situation. And boy, I just feel that if she would defend the situation, this story would have gone away a long time ago. Now, I don't think it's as big a story this week as it was last week, but who knows what's coming down the pike. I don't know why she doesn't speak on this. It would seemingly push it out of the way. But whatever happened that night, we do know now that a family member called the police. I'm guessing it was probably one of the kids. We don't know that for sure, but I don't know who the family member would be who would be in the household that late at night. So here we are. Now, does it deter anybody from voting for Amy Acton? I guess that becomes a big question. Does it hurt her in the voting booth in the fall that stories like this percolate and she doesn't seem to really answer them? Do you think it will hurt her in the long run? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Let me know if you have any thoughts on that. Now, on the other side of this gubernatorial race, you've got Vivek Ramaswamy, and, you know, that's a very interesting race, because you've got Casey Putch running against him in this primary. which will culminate on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. Now, Casey Putch has been accused of making some very anti-Semitic remarks, pro-Nazi remarks is how I think they've been referred to. And I guess this comes down to, if you like somebody's policy, but they make anti-Semitic or indeed racist remarks, which he's also been accused of, do you still support that candidate? You know, I think people probably refer to racism and anti-Semitism as character traits. Now, if somebody says everything you like, but yet says things that, you know, let me put it this way. I'm not even sure that an anti-Semitic remark would disqualify you at this point. You know, it used to be if you would say something that was deemed to be anti-Semitic, I think you probably would have to get out of the race. But I don't think that's the case anymore. Now, I don't know what's changed in society in regard to that, but it certainly seems as if you can pretty much say anything you want to now, and you can still go to primary day or election day, and whatever happens, happens. If you get the votes, you get the votes. If you don't get the votes, you don't get the votes. Society in general, I don't know, would have tolerated that maybe 10, 15 years ago. But maybe we're a different society. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And on the whole, you know, I have said that I think Vivek Ramaswamy, being a member of the Hindu religion, might hurt him in the long run. But I'm not sure really why it should. I think it will. But I don't know why these things mean so much to people. How does somebody's religious beliefs impact how they govern? Because certainly there are a lot of people of the same religion that don't govern the same way. So isn't it all how you interpret your religion? Or religious beliefs? I'm not sure why this has become such a big conversation in the political arena, but it certainly has. Does anybody understand this? 20 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. And then you've got Amy Acton, who's also got her strong detractors because of the whole COVID situation a few years ago. But it seems as if every time Amy Acton gets dinged about COVID, Mike DeWine, the Republican governor, the two-term Republican governor, comes and defends her like he did last week. You know, there was the assertion last week by the Ramaswamy campaign that she shut down the 2020 primaries. And Governor DeWine said, no, that's not the case. I believe this was even an ad that was run. And Governor DeWine said, no, she did not shut down the 2020 primaries. I shut down the 2020 primaries. And now we've learned that not only was Amy Acton on that phone call, but Governor DeWine was on that phone call. John Husted, who was the lieutenant governor at that point, was on that phone call. The head of the Republican Party was on the phone call, and the head of the Democratic Party was on the phone call. So everybody was a part of that particular situation and got to say what they wanted to say. So I don't know really how you could lay that all on Amy Acton. So continuing to ding her on the COVID era, I don't think is doing the Republicans any favors, because it just gets Governor DeWine involved and has him defending her when it happens. So I guess we'll continue to go on down the road on that one. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's kind of interesting. When I was at the Harding dinner last Thursday night, Senator McCauley, who's running with Vivek Ramaswamy, when he got up to give his speech, he actually brought that up during the speech, that Amy Acton had shut down the 2020 primaries. And I just happened to be looking at my phone as he was making that statement, and that's when the story came out in which Governor DeWine denounced that ad, saying that she did not shut down the 2020 primaries, that it was his decision to do that. And I thought, well, here's Senator McCauley right up on stage making that assertion. Does that get people to the polls? What happened during the COVID era? I mean, is there a fear that there would be another COVID era? Is that the idea? Because I don't even know if that's policy at this particular point. I think there were decisions made at certainly an unprecedented time in anybody's life. I mean, they were being made in every state in the United States. They were being made in other countries. So is this something that can be held against Amy Acton in the long run? Are these, this police report from 2019, is this something that can be held against Amy Acton? Do you think that there is a bit of racism going around that is hurting Vivek Ramaswamy in the Republican primary? Because his campaign is fascinating to watch. When you look at that thing on the whole, if you would have said last year at this time that Vivek Ramaswamy was not a shoe-in for governor, most people would have looked at you funny. Because he had been endorsed by Donald Trump. He had been endorsed by the Republican Party. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of recognition. He was getting all the attention. And here we are a year later, he's being primaried. There is a portion of the Republican Party that has seemingly turned on him. You know, so what's the reason there? What's that all about? Certainly something to pay attention to. And again, if you have any thoughts on anything we're talking about this morning, please feel free to weigh in. We do love hearing from you, the callers out there. 740-383-9944. Now, locally, on May the 5th, we'll have our commissioner race. We've got four Republicans in that primary. We've got Ken Stuyvesant. We've got Christy Neff. We've got Tim Mooney. And we've got Jason Schauber. Now, where does that all end up going? Essentially, that person will be elected the next county commissioner in the primary because there is no Democrat running for that particular position. Now, a lot of people feel that there are basically three insiders here. Three people who are very well established in the Republican Party, the local Republican Party. Chrissy Neff, Tim Mooney, and Ken Stuyvesant. And they were all at the Harding dinner the other night, all three of them. And then you have somebody who a lot of people feel is on the outs with the party in Jason Schauber, but certainly a well-known commodity in the Marion area, being a long-term city council person and having run for county commissioner in the past. And I should mention, I think there's something, numbers are important and history is important. And if you look at the last time that Jason ran for county commissioner, it was against Kerr Murray and Kevin Davidson. Now, Kerr Murray was the sitting county commissioner, Republican, and Kevin Davidson was running in that race. And it was a primary. And Kevin Davidson won, but Jason Schauber finished second. Kerr Murray, who was the sitting county commissioner, finished third. So what that said to me was, is that Kevin Davidson and Kerr Murray essentially split the Republican vote. The ardent Republican club vote in Marion. And then the Republicans who are registered, who like Jason Schaber, who are not part of that clique, voted for him. But it was enough to get him to second place. Now, if you throw another person in that mix, which is essentially what we have this time, we have three people who are essentially part of the party running against someone who is not, you know, I guess a heavy-duty member of the party, is that enough to push them up to first place if you split that vote three ways? I don't know. I think that's a very interesting race. You know, that's our big local outside of the 86th district. And then you got that one, which we talked a little bit about in the first hour, and gee whiz. You want to talk about nasty campaigning and nasty brochures and nasty things being said. You know, that's the race. Ben Weber, Wesleyan Davis, and Stephen Wolf. Now, again, as I was saying in hour number one, who does Stephen Wolf take votes from? You know, I don't know. And why did Stephen Wolf get in this race late? Does he have a lot of differing opinions from Ben or Wesleyan? I don't know. I've interviewed them all, and I did not think, well, the people who were listening did not feel that there was a whole lot of difference there in those three candidates. So is this basically just a personality race? Is that why personal attacks in this particular race have become so important? Is because policy-wise, they're all very similar. I think this is a question. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got any takes on any of these things, feel free to weigh in. We'd love to hear from you. 29 coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on this chilly Monday morning. Now we're up to 39 degrees, though. 39 degrees and sunny sky, so at least we've got that going on. And as I said earlier, God forbid we lose power or anything, but people are working on the roof of this building, so just outside the window here in the studio, I can hear the trucks outside making a lot of noise. But I guess that's the political rundown on this Monday. I don't know. You know, we had an interesting conversation last week about no tax on tips. And I think we had that conversation on tax day. And I thought that was an interesting conversation to have. Because apparently the first $25,000 of your income in tips, you are not taxed on if you are somebody who works for tips. And apparently the same thing on overtime. $25,000. Now, there was a big question about pizza drivers. All right, let's take the phone call here, then we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, this is changing the subject, but who do you report potential traffic hazards to? Because at the end of Tyler Street there, that's the vacant lot at 645, as you're trying to turn from Tyler onto Fairground Street, this person has planted a whole line of evergreen trees. And already, as small as they are, it's kind of hard to see oncoming traffic coming from the west. And so when they even get bigger, it's going to be even worse. Who would you report that to?
Well, that's in the city. I think you could bring that up to the city.
Would you call streets and alleys, or what department?
Yeah, I would probably say the streets department would have something to do with that. Especially if it's obstructing the view traffic wise.
Yeah, because that's going to be a hazard. Okay, well, thanks.
Hey, thank you for calling. Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm sure if you called up to City Hall, they would point you in the right direction. Certainly don't need any trees obstructing anybody's viewpoint out there as they go up and down the road. And again, the phone lines are open here. We can talk about anything. You know, sometimes questions like that's are interesting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, yeah, but the tax on tips thing, I think that's always a conversation worth having. Let's see here. You know, we are going to try sanitation in streets would probably be the way to go. So that would be the department you might want to call. 740-382-1560. 740-382-1560. And we thank the listener out there this morning who provided that number. Let's see here. We're going to try to have the commissioners on soon. We're definitely going to try to have them on. Well, we'll make the invitations for the commissioner candidates. We will certainly make the attempt to try to have them all on. We will definitely make sure that they all get the invitation to come on before the election, because I think we would like to hear what they have to say and what the differences are and so on and so forth. We'll see who comes on. Hopefully they all do. I don't know why any of them wouldn't at this particular point. But again, you never know. I think there's a lot of things that are very hard to describe at this particular point in time. Let's see. What else is on? The tax on tips thing. Okay. Now, if the pizza driver, we had a heated conversation about this last week. If the pizza driver is making $11 an hour in minimum wage, let's just say that, and if they are getting the first $25,000 of their tips with no tax, you know, a pizza driver could be doing pretty well. And I guess my point in this, I don't begrudge people not having to pay tax on their tips, but I'm not really sure why it wasn't just $25,000 of everybody's income. The first $25,000 will not be taxed. Why was it specifically on tips and overtime? You know, I guess it was it because we can't do it for everybody? You know, $25,000 for everybody would not be a good thing, because then you would lose $25,000 in tax revenue from everybody. And some people don't make $25,000 in tips. A lot of people certainly don't get $25,000 in overtime in a given year, because this doesn't affect salaried employees. This doesn't affect, you know, let's say the manager of the restaurant or the pizza place versus the person who's getting the tips. So I don't know that this is particularly fair, but I guess it's an economy booster in some ways. But it is odd to me that if you work in a restaurant, that essentially the person making the tips could end up making more money overall than the manager because of the no tax on the first $25,000 of tips per year. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? We had some people who had some thoughts on this last week. You know, Bob down in Columbus, our friend and resident pizza maker, said that pizza drivers, even in 2026, do not get charged or tipped $5 per delivery. Now, I have to disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think the pizza drivers are getting tipped $5 because people usually are tipping in cash there. It seems as if they are. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that, but it seems as if people are usually tipping the pizza driver in cash, and or they're doing it on their card, I guess, when they call in the pizza order. So they've already tipped before the pizza has ever been delivered, in a lot of cases. But I think they're tipping $5. I think if you put a dollar down or you hand the pizza driver a dollar, that's not going to go over well. I just don't think that's going to float. And again, if you're getting $5 per delivery, you're making a substantial amount in tips per week as a pizza driver. And again, the first $25,000 of that is not taxed. So anyway, does anybody have any thoughts on this? I think it's an interesting subject. Certainly a subject that deals with our economy. 740-383-9944. 37 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott.
I'm so glad we can finish this conversation from last week.
Yeah, you just had to kind of shoehorn me in there, apparently.
I was twisting the knife.
But, you know, I have not been sitting on my hands doing nothing. I have been doing research.
Oh, good.
I have contacted some recent pizza drivers on this subject.
Well, let's hear what you have come up with.
Well, I'm going to read a text here from a recent driver. There are some houses and places that you go to that are never tippers. These situations generally suck because the time spent taking them their order could usually just have easily been spent taking orders that would actually get you money outside any reimbursements. In such a way, when we would take these orders, the best way to do it was to run them as single delivery runs, so you could get the full gas delivery that you might otherwise receive. So not everybody is a $5 tipper. Some people are zero tippers.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Some people are, they're under the misconception that if they pay a delivery charge to the company, that delivery charge goes to the driver. It does not. I have never heard of any pizza company that gives the delivery charge to the driver. They keep that for themselves. It might cover salary or other things, but it does not go to the driver. And most tips paid on a credit card at the time of the order does not go to the driver. It goes to a general fund in the store, but among all the employees at that time, not just the driver.
So, like the people cooking the pizzas and things of that nature?
Correct. It goes to a store fund, not to a driver. And most of the people who are cooking the pizza are the managers anyway. Most places don't have separate pizza cooks. It's usually the manager and other inside help.
Well, that's not really fair.
That's the way it is.
Well, you know what? Here's where this came from, in my opinion. Okay, during the COVID era, we saw a big rise in society with DoorDash. And it has remained. There are still a lot of DoorDashers. I think they stay pretty busy in areas. Now, DoorDashers are more or less working off the tips. And I guess what was shocking to me, for somebody to go and pick up, you know, Taco Bell or pick up McDonald's or pick up whatever, a lot of times things that are cheaper than pizza orders, people are getting tipped really, really, really well. And I guess I would...
I mean, where do you get that from? How do we know that they're getting... You may be a good tipper. And from what you're telling me, you are a good tipper. But that doesn't mean that everybody else is.
No, but I talk to the DoorDash people because I'm curious when I see these DoorDash people. I say, is this really lucrative to do this? Because a lot of times you get the same people all the time. And I say, is this really a lucrative job? And I've also noticed that a lot of people have picked it up as a second job who have okay first jobs. And I say, is it really lucrative for you to do this? Do they pay well? And they all say the same thing. They say, well, DoorDash doesn't really pay well when you consider the gas and the use to your car, but the tips are good.
Okay.
And I would have to think that in the pizza business, that tips are good, especially now that you can tip on your credit card.
But does that tip go to the driver? My research is saying, no, it does not. It goes to the store fund.
Well, isn't that terrible, though? Because don't you think most people who are tipping are expecting it to go to the driver? Okay, because here's the thing.
When you go to any store, you know, a carryout, and there's a tip jar at the front there, you know, tips. Who do you think that tips go to?
Well, a tip jar is different. I think when we see a tip jar...
It's the same thing. The credit card tips on the delivery is the same thing as that tip jar in the front of the store.
But I think that's misleading, because if there's a tip jar, I think we all expect that the reason you're throwing it into the tip jar is because it's going to be divvied up at the end of the night and go to everybody who's working there. Because how would they know who came from what and who had what server, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's generally the case, yeah.
Right, but if you're tipping your pizza driver and he's got the receipt and you're signing it at the door, I think you're not expecting that to go into a tip jar.
You may not expect it, but usually it does.
Well, who in the world came up with that?
The manager.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, is that how it is at the haircut places? Because that's one of those other weird places that we still tip, is the hair salons. And that's not done by tip jar. That's done on your receipt. And I bet a lot more people pay for their haircuts via credit card than they do their pizzas. And is that all going to everybody in the salon, or is that going to the person cutting your hair? Because what's the point if it's going to the whole salon? Because a lot of people have the same people who cut their hair every month, and you're giving them a big tip because they're your person.
Well, you're going down a different avenue right now. You're going down into another avenue of tipping and another industry. And maybe it's different in the hair salon. I don't know. I personally pay cash or write a check to my barber, and so I know it's going directly to that individual. But
do you tip him?
You're going down another avenue. Yeah, I do tip my barber.
Okay. Now, how do you know it's not going into a...
Yeah, I'm putting cash in his hand.
So
what he does with it, if he has to give that to the manager, whoever else, I don't know. I don't think he does. But, the difference between cash in hand and a credit card charge.
So really what we're talking about here is that the credit card industry has ruined the tipping industry.
Possibly.
I just don't understand who would have dreamed up the idea. Because what's the difference?
The managers.
Yeah, but what...
These are the people in charge, you know.
Yeah, but how do you even...
How do you know that tip on a credit card is not meant for the overall good purpose of making a great pizza, and not making that a great pizza be given partly to the cook, to the manager who is making that pizza and making sure that it is good.
But everything you just said, what's the motivation of the driver to be better than any other driver if it's all going to be evened out at the end of the night?
You still got to work, and maybe you'll get another dollar or two of cash when you get there.
But
motivation is to do a good job because that's what you're paid to do.
Right, but if you work at a pizza shop, everybody knows that there's one or two employees who just aren't pulling their weight. And
that's true. I think that's true in any place.
Okay, so why would I work extra hard so I could make exactly the same tip amount as that, because tips are based on how nice you are, how quickly you got the pizza there, how you presented yourself, so on and so, and it's also size of the order. So why would I want to be?
Because a lot of places will pay their drivers a commission as part of an incentive to get it out there early. I don't know if they still do it today, but I know Domino's used to do that all the time. That's how they would guarantee 30 minutes or less, is that they would pay you a commission to get it there.
Well, but that's because, well, this whole conversation, though, is coming from the tipping industry, that you get $25,000 tax-free
That's from the IRS. You get $25,000 tax-free.
Right, but...
That's not the tipping industry pushing that.
Well, I think the tipping industry did push it. I think they wanted it. I don't think they didn't want it.
No, I think it's the people in Nevada who live off of tips that wanted and the administration wanted them to vote for Trump. You know.
Well,
that's where it started from, is that he was after that realm of voters who might be swayed by that promise of you know, that, you know, tax-free tips.
Well, here's the thing. Why are we tipping people who make at least minimum wage anyway?
Well, that's a society thing.
Right, but it's only certain things. It's only hair salons and delivery drivers.
Well, people tip, I believe, because they want to reward good service, and that sometimes the tip is misdirected as to the getting to the intended recipient. When you tip on a credit card, you can't always be sure that that's going to go to that individual.
Well, I guess my point is, if you're the pizza driver in Ohio, because of minimum wage, you're making $11 an hour, okay? And you're working 40 hours a week, so you're somewhere around, you know, $400 a week. Now, that's not an incredible amount of money, but you're making $400 a week out of your
that's still before taxes.
Before taxes. But then, okay, now we're divvying all the tips. We're putting it all in a pot and then divvying it all up. Tax-free money here. Now, I would bet that they are taking home an extra per week at least $200 to $300. So, you know, you take that and multiply that by four. Now, that's tax-free. So, let's just say it's $200. Well, you just made an extra $800 per month tax-free on top of the $400 you were getting a week. So, essentially, you're making somewhere around $600 a week, which, again, is not huge money, but it's certainly livable.
No, it's barely livable in some places.
Well, I'm talking about Marion, Ohio.
In Marion, you find out what the average rent is. Have Naomi answer that question next time she calls in, you know, which I'm sure will be, you know, minutes from now, if not tomorrow. How much is the average rent for any of her places?
Oh, well, it just depends on where you live and how big your family is. But I'm saying, you think somebody can't live on $2,400 a month?
I think they can, but I don't think they'll be getting fat off of it.
No, I'm not saying you're going to be rich, but I'm saying I think it's livable. I think you can make a car payment. I think you can pay your insurance. I think you can pay your rent. And I think you can eat on $2,400 a month.
Yeah.
And if you can do that...
I'm not saying you can't do it. The question last week was that you're implying that they're getting rich off of this. Nobody's getting rich off of it.
Well, I'm not saying they're getting rich, but what I'm saying is that nearly, I'm going to say, 30% of their income now is not taxed. Any other job anybody else works, let's say you make $600 a week, your whole income is taxed. But the pizza driver's is not. The server in the restaurant is not.
And if you recall last week, I said, no, that is not fair. It is not fair.
But isn't it true?
It is true that you're getting a piece of your income on tax, whereas, you know, the person in the carryout next to you, you know, is making the same amount of money, but they're paying full taxes.
Right, but...
No, it's not fair. Why carve out one segment of the population to receive tax-free income, like the billionaires and the millionaires, and you know, who are getting tax-free income in multiple increments?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. Why didn't, instead of making it $25,000, because I understand that you could not give every employee in America $25,000 tax-free, because... You know, I think the theory behind overtime and tips is that the majority are not going up to $25,000. So that being said, why couldn't you have just went to $10,000 and said, okay, every employee, $10,000 tax-free if you make under a certain amount of money a year?
That's what you say the deductions for anyway.
Right, but now the pizza driver, here I guess is my big gripe with this, because I think the servers are really getting smashed here, because the servers in the restaurants don't make minimum wage, so they're not getting much of a refund on their taxes anyway, and the tax-free on their tips, that's good, but they're not getting a refund. They're just getting it tax-free, and they were probably getting a good majority of it tax-free anyway because they weren't reporting their cash. Now, the pizza driver and the hair salon person are making at least minimum wage. And let's say they're just making minimum, $11 in Ohio. Well, that means they're going to get a significant refund at the end of the tax year because they did pay into federal tax, and they're probably going to get most of it back because of the standard deduction, which I think is something like $18,000 now. And this extra money that they're taking in for taxes, they're going to get tax-free too, up to $25,000.
Now, I'm going to do a little bit more research for you. But I do believe that most hairdressers, hair salon barbers, unless they own the place, they're not an employee of the place. They are an independent contractor, and they pay rent or usage fees for the chairs and whatever else is going on there.
So they're 1099?
And so they are, I believe they are more independent contractors than they are employees, in which case that tip usually is their income. That is their survival. And I don't think lumping them together with pizza drivers is a fair comparison.
Well, if hairdressers are getting 1099 and making minimum wage, you know, that's
different. You don't make minimum wage as a 1099 person.
Right. But you're
an independent contractor, that you are not a minimum wage individual.
Right. Well, what I'm saying, so they're not paying them anything? The hair salon's not paying anything?
If you're a 1099 employee, you can't be. That right there is redundant. I'm sorry, a contradiction. You can't be a 1099 person and an employee both. That's legally separate item.
That's
a 1099 person is not guaranteed a wage.
Well, see, now that's not true, though. Because, okay, I don't think that hairdressers are renting the space and working for nothing, because then you wouldn't need a 1099.
Well, I'm going to do some research on that subject for you.
Well, I just think that's interesting. Because, okay, if I go, let's say I go into Fiesta, okay, they've got name badges, there's a manager in there, they're telling them what to do, you're an employee. If you were
an employee in that situation. I'm just saying that not everywhere you go is it like that.
Well, not everywhere.
If you're not an employee, you might still follow a corporate dress code or attitude, you know, as a representative. For a long time, the UPS people were not employees, and the FedEx people were not employees, but they still wore the brown short uniforms because they represented that.
But 1099 employees, but 1099 independent contractors, whatever you want to call them, the reason you get a 1099 is because you are paid by that business. If you
know you are receiving money from that business, yes.
Right. So why don't
paid employee? Because that business is not paying any Social Security taxes, any Medicare taxes.
Right. But they are paying you a fee.
A fee for a non-employee job.
Right. I agree with that. But they are paying you a fee. So you are getting money. You're not living just off your tips.
You are receiving money, yes.
Yeah. So, again,
and
I guess
generally that 1099 will not include tips because the tips will be separate and apart from whatever else the company is funneling to you.
Okay, like if you work at a yard service business, okay, because this has become a big industry. If you work yard service and snow removal, now, if you work for that company, 9 times out of 10, they're going to 1099 you. Okay, now, you are working for that company. You've got to use their equipment. You've got to adhere by their rules. You've got a manager. You've got to show up at a certain time, do a certain thing. You're not really an independent contractor. Independent contractor in and of itself.
You are right. You're right. At that point in time, the company is illegally paying you and not paying their taxes.
But they allow it.
Who allows it?
Well, the IRS doesn't come down on those people.
No, that would be a function of the state government. especially, you know, the division of unemployment where you are not paying those taxes. That is a state function. The IRS will be in the background looking to get together whatever it is, but they're looking for the state to enforce your own state law.
Why don't we tip our people who do our lawns? We tip the hairdresser.
Well, you can tip anybody you want. I can tip you for having a good show on any particular day. I can tip Scott. Here's a $10 gift certificate. Use it however you want because you had the best show in the world.
Right.
I can tip anybody.
Right, but it is
only you can tip anybody.
But the only people it's customary to tip are the waiter, the server, the hair salon, and the pizza driver.
Oh, well, you have a lot of year-end tips. I know people at year-end might tip their mailman. They might tip, you know, other service people they only see on an occasional basis.
Let's see here. From one of our listeners this morning, I get upset that businesses charge a 3 or 5% fee for customers that use a credit card.
Yeah. I see that because the credit card people charge the business, the company, they charge the businesses a fee for that processing. That credit card is not free.
Okay.
And so instead of absorbing it now, companies are passing it along because, you know, they're skin and bones anyway.
Okay, now here we go. From one of our listeners, that isn't illegal. Credit card tips are added to your paycheck. You'd be paying taxes or money other people are making.
Are they?
I guess, and it says...
Are they added to your paycheck?
Okay, and then also, it is illegal. Someone needs to report this to the Wage and Labor if this is actually happening. It is a civil crime. Now, I'm guessing that's about the...
The failure of the businesses to pay taxes on their employees.
Okay. Apparently not at Great Clips. This isn't going on. My stylist at the salon rents a booth. She has her own clientele and makes her own money. She works at a private salon and sets her own hours. Well, see, now that's different.
That sounds like an independent person to me.
That's an independent person, but if you work at Great Clips, you're still tipping them, and they're not an independent contractor.
That's true. I mean, sometimes you don't know when you go into a business and actually talk to people whether they are a true employee or an independent contractor.
So now the next time I...
It's like making the assumption that the delivery charge is going to the driver. It doesn't happen.
So I guess from now on...
Anytime you make an assumption, you make an ass out of you and me.
Right, but also you can make an assumption in the wrong way. So I guess now when I order...
That way.
Right, well, I guess when I order my pizza, I've got to say, are the credit card tips going into a pool at the end of the night? Because if they are, I'm not tipping. And I need to go next time I get my hair cut, and I need to say, now listen, do you work for this place, or are you an independent contractor? Because if you work here, then I shouldn't be tipping you.
That should be a correct way to go. I mean... Ask who gets the tips. There is a situation where I'm actually working. I don't know if we have time to get into this. We'll get into another day. I think you're ready to sign off here.
If you give me a tip, I might stay on longer.
Got it. Send the mail.
We'll talk about this another day because I think this is fascinating. And I, you know, I would never have listen. These like high end private hairstylists. Yes, I've
wrap
seen that
up,
done.
Wrap
before.
It up, come on.
But
wrap it up.
Scott. Fiesta and Great
Head
Clips. No tips anymore, right?
Head to the dugout. Hey, I'm gonna tip that guy for hitting a home run.
Here we go. For this day, we're heading for the dugout. No tips. Stay tuned.
Ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to